Joining me in the studio this morning, Steve Vincent. You're from Avista, but you're on loan, you said, as the chair and the founder of the Angel Network here in Southern Oregon. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Milt. Thanks so much for inviting me on to talk about this. I am a little bit on loan sometimes when you all think of, you know, your expectation of what your local utility is doing in the community, whether it's United Way or Chamber of Commerce. So our utility has been involved in various economic development initiatives in the communities that we serve. And this happens to be one that we thought we could make a difference in, and trying to find a way to raise capital for entrepreneurs who've maxed out credit cards, taken out too many lines of credit on the house, or friends and family aren't, you know, returning phone calls any longer. So where is that next space of capital long before they might be bankable? And how does an entrepreneur launch a company? And so that's what the Angel Investment Network Initiative is.
Is this a little bit like venture capitalism? You always hear these stories about Silicon Valley. And
Yeah, it is. I'll have to use the Shark Tank analogy. I don't like to use it because I have entrepreneurs who contact me and will say, I don't want to be a part of your Shark Tank. But there is a similarity, right? You've got individuals who want to make an investment in a startup. They do want a piece of the equity in the company because that's really the only way they're going to get a rate of return to cover a bunch of losses that inevitably will occur in other investments. And so, yes, we each of the different regions of the state, Eugene, Corvallis, Southern Oregon, Roseburg, we all have various regional angel investment networks of 25 to 35 individuals who are writing checks out of their investment portfolio and putting that money at risk in this type of investment.
Now, tonight you're going to be naming, I believe it's five finalists for the award at the end of the month. Before you mention how that works, how do folks who have these ideas, how do they participate in the process?
Well, I'd say any entrepreneur needing to raise capital really ought to study, what does it take to be angel investor ready? If an individual comes along and puts down a couple of $100,000, what are the expectations of that investor? Because I've had a few entrepreneurs assume this is a grant. They've said, oh, the investor actually wants their money back. What a concept. and so I think just being smart on that. And then each of the angel networks in the state, you know, anybody can find it online and see what the timeline and the process for submitting a business plan for consideration is. And so ours, for instance, is similar to the Eugene Willamette Angel Conference. We both had a late February deadline for business plans, and then the investors take about a month and a half to winnow through all of those plans into what would be tonight our announcement of five companies the investors want to invite to present at the Angel Conference. In Eugene, a similar track, the Willamette Angel Conference has their conference on May the 8th, and so they've already, I think, narrowed it down. I don't know if they've announced the five, but anybody in your Eugene listenership ought to go take a look at the Willamette Angel Conference and either consider participating in it as an investor or looking at a future round as an applicant for funding.
Are you looking for a particular type of business model? I mean, you know, in the media, especially in this day and age, it's real sexy for somebody to come up with a new piece of hardware or software or something. But are you much broader than that in determining who's eligible for this?
Yeah, it's tough to have a criteria on type of industry sector. It really is anything. In this round and what we'll announce tonight, I mean, we've got companies that are in the beverage business, the software business, another one that's in the hardware, you know, what you find in a hardware store device. And so really the criteria is a company scalable? Does it have a growth strategy where instead of selling, you know, 1,000 widgets a month, they're going to sell, you know, 100,000 widgets a month? You know, does it have that kind of growth? Because really the only way the investor is going to find their way to any kind of return is if a company has that kind of growth. One other example we had, I've seen companies in the restaurant business. Hey, I've got this new idea. I want to open a restaurant. Well, if you're going to have 50 by the end of the year and 200 by the end of 10 years and Starbucks wants to buy you, that's kind of that scalable versus, I've always wanted to have one restaurant in the plaza, and that's all I'm ever going to have. Well, it's a little tougher to be scalable, in that kind of a model.
I think there's this image that there's the guy or gal slaving away in their garage inventing a new thing. But this is also open to existing businesses. Is that correct? If you've been, as you mentioned, like a beverage distributor or something, you suddenly have what you think is a great idea for a new beverage or something, you could also approach this way?
Yeah, definitely could. So existing businesses that need to raise expansion capital for maybe a new product line, most of those businesses ought to be bankable. But if for some reason they can't get a bank loan to expand, and they have a new product that will grow the company rapidly, angel investors will take a look at that. If somebody just needs more operating capital to get through the next year, that's probably kind of a tough one for an investor. Maybe a single investor would do that, but the angel network itself, or I've got a group of 25 investors, probably not likely.
So the actual winner, the grand prize winner, if we want to call it that, will be announced on the 30th. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. At the Southern Oregon Angel Conference that day, we've got a great group of speakers coming in, people who are really smart in the space of how entrepreneurs raise capital and what's happening nationally. So for both our investors who are in the room who want to know, okay, how do I do this right? We've got a great speaker on that. And then another speaker who really started a company in Portland from a second mortgage to, independent wealth for the rest of his life, including his kids and grandkids. Right? So he's going to inspire the entrepreneurs. So that's what we're doing at the conference. And then the investors will announce who they've selected for right now. What's a $200,000 estimated investment?
Joining us this morning is Steve Vincent, the chair and founder of the Southern Oregon Angel Network. And this is the fourth annual, is that
correct? That's right. We're into four.
Yeah, number four coming up, and they'll be announcing the finalists tonight and the winner on April 30th. If you have any questions about the Angel Network and how this entrepreneurial process works, helping people out, you can call us from anywhere in the listening area at 800-838-3760 in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. For the folks who are, and I mean no malice by this, for the folks who are the losers in this competition, do they have a number of options available to them where, okay, they didn't win the big prize, but they still had a lot of positive encouragement to go forward? Are there resources that they can tap into?
Yeah, a few things that are happening for the companies that don't win the prize. One is, we quite haven't done this here in Southern Oregon, but certainly in Eugene, the runners-up have gone on to raise capital. In fact, in Eugene, one year, I think one of the runners-up raised more capital than the winner, because you had a group of the investors in the pool who said, oh, I like number two just as well. Let's go do that one. Or you have people in the room who say, hey, I want to participate as an investor in that company over there. Mm-hmm. And so that's happening. I've also, for instance, here in Ashland, JAMA Films said to me they went through the process last year. And just the time they spent having to be prepared has allowed them to go on and find additional investors. So in a way, it's a little bit of a school course and how to be prepared as for an angel investment. And so those are some successes as well that we're all seeing.
I have just kind of a generic question about crowdsourcing. It certainly seems to be becoming more popular. And does that figure into how you folks work, or is crowdsourcing, what are your feelings about it in general?
I'm a little afraid because just the rules and the process defined by the SEC seems to be a little bit elusive at this point. And I'd rather keep my freedom and not find myself in court somewhere in trouble. So that part's challenging. But there are two different spaces of capital. You know, really, we're, the angel investors are sort of a $500,000 range group of high net worth individuals. And in the crowdsourcing, while some companies have gone on to raise, you know, million plus, I think a lot of times it's a startup concept company that says, I just need to raise $20,000 to get my prototype built or to do a proof of concept or test market. I don't need $250,000. And that might be a space of capital that crowdsourcing might be more effective at, not ready to give away equity in the company. And so I think that it's a different space that we need to somehow find a way to facilitate if it's not being effectively facilitated for entrepreneurs at this time.
The angels that you have, are these all local folks, or do you have some out of area folks? Are out of area folks even eligible to participate?
We can our operating agreement. So we have an LLC at $5,000 a unit, and any accredited investor. So that's somebody with enough high net worth to lose it and not hurt so much. anybody can participate as an investor. Typically, though, all of these angel networks are local individuals. There's sort of a rule of thumb. If they can get to the investment in a 90-minute drive, so they can knock on the door and say, hey, what are you doing with my money? that's kind of one of those, criteria for an investor. So we right now we have 20 investors in this round. Previous rounds, we had 25 investors here and there, but all local. People have been successful in their own right, either starting companies or exiting companies at some point in their lifetime to have the net worth to take this kind of risk.
I remember a conversation years ago that somebody was interviewing Oprah Winfrey, and she said that they wondered why she had such a narrow investment portfolio. And she says, I only invest in what I know, and the only thing I know is media. So do you have people like that in your angel network who just, they may look at something and say, like the Shark Tank folks, this is a great idea, but I don't know anything about XYZ.
Yeah, you know, so true, right? If an investor doesn't understand the technology, the industry sector, regardless of how good it might be, if they can't grasp it because they don't have the background, then a very good idea might not get funded. Fortunately for us, with 20 different people, there's somebody in the group who says, no, I understand this, and let me explain it to all of you. And that's already happening with us now and has happened in the past. Somebody will take the lead on a company and say, let me go do the due diligence, and then I will report back to all of you because I understand this space. And then that investor makes a recommendation to the group. That investor may end up being on the board or an advisor to the company because they understand it. And unfortunately, we've had great companies apply in the past that have gone on to raise capital from another angel network that our investors really wouldn't look at because they just didn't have the background. And so that's where a group of angel investors can really help each other in that respect.
Are we seeing any significant job growth with some of these startup companies and the angel investments, or just by the nature of the fact that they're sort of startup companies, you don't anticipate real significant job growth, not initially anyway?
Yeah, our angel network is too new. 2011 was our first investment in Folium Partners of Ashland, and they're still launching. They're still in that launch phase. All of us, you know, me from the utility and the sponsors of our angel conference, our expectation is that we've influenced the creation of a new company that's full of employees. And, you know, you drive by and you see a building just full of people making, you know, paychecks every other week. That's the point of all of this, is to grow new employers in our communities. And so that's certainly my hope.
The interest of the particular entrepreneurs that you've seen over this 4-year span, are they, of course, the Rogue Valley is known for certain things. We're known for pears. We're known for the vineyards and different industries. Are you seeing a shift in that, or are a lot of the folks who are applying for angel grants, are they from traditional industries in this area, or are we seeing some people that are coming up with some pretty innovative new types of businesses?
Yeah, I would say the new innovative businesses. There's something unique going on right here in Ashland. In our first year, I think half of our applicants were from Ashland, and they were not connected in any way from an industry sector. And frankly, I'm not sure any of them actually knew each other. And so that, to me, has always struck me as unique. I've talked to people in Ashland about it. Why is that? How can we facilitate this culture of entrepreneurism that happens to exist more in Ashland than the Angel Network might be seeing in any other concentration in the region? But again, that it's not so much the traditional industry sectors. It is something that what I think is often considered the disruptive technology, something that's going to disrupt an existing industry sector with a new product that just changes, paradigm shifts or, some monumental change in a new product or service.
We're speaking with Steve Vincent, the chair and founder of Southern Oregon's Angel Network. We're talking about funding entrepreneurs and their new ideas. If you have a question or a comment, you can reach us at 800-838-3760 in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And you can also email jx@jeffnet.org. And we should remind you that all of the lines are open today. We, of course, finished up our fund drive yesterday, and we hope you donated. Speaking of Angel Networks, talking a little bit about how people approach this, you mentioned that a lot of the initial applicants in that first year from Ashland didn't even know each other. Is this the kind of thing where folks get to know each other, and have you seen any partnerships come out of this?
Wow, that's a tough question. I hadn't thought of that one. Partnerships. I think the partnerships that might be forming are a little bit among the support services. So, for instance, SoReady has a technical advisory group, a group of consultants who volunteer time to be matched up with an entrepreneur, whether it's somebody with a marketing or finance background. And I don't know if I'm yet seeing some collaboration between different companies. Again, some of these are in such different industry sectors. I might also have to ask somebody like a John Lee here at Folium Partners if he's seen that. Sorry, I can't answer that question.
That's okay. I printed out a thing off the net that talks about some of the partners, if that's the right word, that are helping to participate in this. We hear about SoReady all the time. Heard about the Angel Network, again, its fourth year. But could you talk a little bit about some of the resources and partners that are available?
Yeah, another one is Rogue Community College has developed a six-month entrepreneurship program, which is coincidentally called the Avista Center for Entrepreneurship. Our utility was successful in creating a program up in Washington that's now being replicated at Rogue, which really is an entrepreneur who needs some kind of formal academic training, but they don't have 4 years to get a degree. And this is synthesizing a four-year business degree into 6 months. It really is. And the idea there is to have a student, probably a non-traditional student, come in with a business plan that says, this is the company I want to launch. I don't quite know how to do it. I'm missing marketing. I'm missing finances. Maybe I'm missing legal. And in 6 months, they get that. And so our hope is that companies will be coming out of that program. They're just about to graduate from the first round. And a few may be angel investor ready. Another resource is the Sustainable Valley Technology Incubator, which is really a process to take entrepreneurs who are looking at launching and giving them the support services that they need. So those are a couple of the resources, and those are replicated in other parts of the state from other groups as well.
So RCC's program, if you have, is it fairly set courses, or if you come in saying, I know how to read a financial, but legal just knocks me over, can you customize a little bit on how you do that?
No, actually, it's not different classes. It's one cohort that meets in the evenings or late afternoons on a weekly basis, and it's a set curriculum that starts from, you know, concept and business development all the way to what's your 10-year strategic plan? And I think that all the students are learning together in that process. So it's a little difficult for somebody to just peek, well, I want to just go to this one week. I want to do this as a workshop series. And so they're typically seeing about maybe 10 to 15 students in a cohort for this. So the next round of that, I'd have to check with Rogue Community College. I think it's late summer is their next course that starts up.
So for tonight on the Jefferson Grapevine, where you announce the five finalists, and then on the 30th, where you have the actual winner announced, are these things open to the public? Where are they going to be held at?
So the Jefferson Grapevine is at the Bigham Knoll Event Center in Jacksonville this evening. If somebody wants to register, they can go to the SoReady.org website and sign up to show up. There's going to be a bit of a workshop series for helping entrepreneurs on a particular topic, and then the announcement. For the Southern Oregon Angel Conference, that too is on the SoReady website, and somebody can sign up for that to attend the April 30th conference. And if it's an entrepreneur, they can see, well, who's the best, and what does it take to be the best? That is something that we certainly want to help with.
So if an entrepreneur or potential entrepreneur is listening to us right now and thinking, I want to be ready for this next year, what's the first step that they should do?
I think that, again, the first step is probably to come to our conference and see, all right, there's the winner, and that's what it's going to take. All right, I've got some work to do. And then to look at our timeline, early January is when we start accepting business plans with a late February deadline. And then in April, every April, we're doing this a fifth time around.
All right. I'd like to thank Steve Vincent, the chair and founder of the Southern Oregon Angel Network, tonight announcing the five finalists and the winner coming up in 2 weeks for this year, the fourth competition on that. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate you being invited.
Well, coming up in our next hour, we're going to be taking a look at a new book called The Divide, and this is about American injustice in the age of the wealth gap. We'll be speaking with the author and taking your phone calls, but first we have the news of the hour coming up.